Pushkin.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. Before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision and her tiny living room, far from Nashville's music row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
Hermanos Gutierrez may be an instrumental guitar band, but they have zero interest in shredding. Instead, the Swiss Ecuadorian brothers, Esteban and Alejandro Gutierrez, take a minimalist approach to playing. They create hypnotic, sweeping compositions inspired by classical Latin guitar and also film scores from old spaghetti westerns. In 2022, after releasing three albums independently, Hermanos Gutierrez signed to Easy Eye Sound, a label owned and operated by Dan Auerbach, guitarist and vocalist of the Black Keys. Last October, they released the album El Bueno y El Malo to critical acclaim. The album features the song Tres Hermanos, where Auerbach joins the brothers on guitar. Today we'll hear Esteban and Alejandro play that song along with a couple other songs live from Auerbach's studio in Nashville, Tennessee. I also talked to Hermanos Gutierrez about how their brotherly spats sometimes fuel their playing. Then they recall a recent performance in Mexico City where they played during a volcanic eruption, and how Dan Auerbach knew he wanted to meet with Hermanos Gutierrez after seeing them play for just 15 seconds. This is Broken Record, liner notes for the digital age. I'm Justin Richmond. Before we jump into my interview with Hermanos Gutierrez, let's hear them play Thunderbird live from Easy Eye Sound Studio in Nashville. Thank you. so beautiful listening to you guys. Thank you so much. Yeah, man, those are sweet guitars. Those are beautiful.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
Are those both Gretsches?
I have a Gretsch, yes, sir.
I have a Silvertone 1446.
Man.
Yeah.
Have you guys always played those guitars?
No, not always. I played a Fender Mexican Series when I started.
Yeah,
that's the guitar I started with.
And I played a Gibson. I think it was a 339 or 35, like the small one.
Oh, man, so cool. I want a Gretsch. I really want a Gretsch. That's like my dream.
Yeah, these are cool.
I mean, I should just do it. I don't know why I don't just buy it. But it's sometimes I like to have these dreams that are kind of off the distance.
It's not so hard, bro.
I know. I should probably just go on and grab one.
Just go buy one.
Did you guys program the playlist on your Spotify? There's a few artist playlists on there. You have one called Sounds of the World.
Yeah, that's us. That's from us.
Yeah, we did that. Yeah.
I was loving the volume. I was loving all of them, but the volume one in particular.
Always the first ones. They're the best.
Obviously, being part Ecuadorian, part Swiss, growing up in Europe, did you have access to a lot of music from Latin America?
Man, not really. I think when we could listen to this music was every time then we went to Ecuador to visit the family, you know. And so our grandfather was the one who showed us like a lot of stuff. I remember that I have a little tape of Julio Jaramillo that he bought me on the corner of our town, and I still have it. And it's like my first memory of having like the access to Latin music.
I remember I bought one of those copies in Ecuador, you know, the black copies, not the original ones, from Fania. And they had those compilations from Fania tracks with a lot of salsa. That was the first time, but not until I was maybe 15, 16 years old. So I got back to Switzerland. I was listening to those tracks, and I think they were not so available here in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to grow up in LA where, you know, there's like lots of Spanish music, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's always just whatever is programmed on mm-hmm. the radio, you know? And so, like, there is a radio station, though, called K-Jazz that was out of Long Beach, mm-hmm. and they used to have a show called Jazz on the Latin Side on Saturday night. So we would always, whenever, you know, we'd always jam, like, late, and then turn on like around midnight or 1 a.m. Jazz on the Latin Side. And it would be like Ray Barreto mm-hmm. and like all these rare, like they called them like Rare Groove at the time. Mm. It sounded like the coolest thing. It sounded inaccessible. Yeah. You know, it was like, I don't know what this music is. I don't really speak Spanish. So I don't know what they're saying. Mm-hmm. It sounds like rock music and like jazz, but it's coming from like, you know, Ecuador or Peru. And it just was like, it felt like it was a whole new world of things to discover. And
that's
just
amazing.
It was such a cool thing to have as a music fan.
I like the name Rare Grooves. That's cool.
Rare Grooves. Yeah, that's what I don't know why it was called that at the time, but at the time I think it was a lot of DJs would spin it and call it Rare Grooves.
Ah, cool, man.
What were you guys listening to when you first started playing guitar? What were your guitar inspirations? Who were your guitar heroes?
I started to play the guitar when I was in second grade, and I started to play the Argentinian folk music. There's a special type of, it's called milonga. And this is like this finger picking style. And I fell in love with that music. And I just played this kind of style because my teacher also just showed me that. Yeah, so that was my first access to guitar music, was classical guitar.
You had a classical
guitar?
Yeah,
I still have the one that I got it from my father. And that's the one when I learned to play the guitar. Yeah.
Wow. How did you fall in love with that? What made you?
I think you could like hear the sadness and like the melancholia, how you say it?
Melancholy
yeah. in the sounds, even without somebody to sing it, you know, and that impressed me because I was also like able to put my feelings into the way how I played the guitar, because that was my teacher told me, hey, you can play a tone different, you can play it just to play it, but you can also put feelings into it. And that's what I really learned. And yeah, I'm grateful for that mm-hmm. I learned that.
Was that in Switzerland?
Yes.
Where you took lessons?
Yes, yes.
Were you into music before you discovered milonga?
It's called milonga, yeah. I think that was actually the first thing that I really learned of music, yeah. Because I didn't know, our father didn't listen to rock music or all the cool stuff. He listened to classical orchestra music, Sunday mornings, I remember that. I think I got to know the cool sound when I was like around 15 to 20 years old. So then I kind of discovered, oh, there's way more cool music, you know, like rock music and all the stuff.
Were you into the music your dad played, like the classical stuff?
Not really. It was like, okay, it's Sunday morning, you know. But it was like also kind of interesting to know that there exists music that is just instrumental. And you can feel all the passion and all the feelings in that music.
What's the age difference between you two?
It's 8 years older, that guy.
So was Alejandro, was the Sunday morning classical sessions, was that still happening when you were young too?
Yeah, I was just about going to tell you. It was my brother Esteban who inspired me to pick up the guitar because I grew up with this sound every time he was playing the guitar. It was just a big inspiration. So when he left for one period, like for 1 year, he went to Ecuador. There was just an absence of that kind of music in our place. So what I did, I picked the guitar and I was like, I want to learn how to play the guitar. And I watched a lot of YouTube tutorials. And back in that time, it was the time of Jack Johnson, singer-songwriter, the surf dude, you know. And I really tried to learn those chords, but I never liked to play covers. So I really tried to have my own style from the beginning. And one guy which inspired me a lot was Jose Gonzalez, like the Swedish Argentinian guy with his guitar and the first record that he played, like Crosses. That's such a good track and such a good album. And there's the other side, which is more coming from film and cinema, like the movies from Alejandro Iñárritu, the Mexican director, with the collaboration with Gustavo Santaolalla, which, you know, so I think it was just a mix of a lot of things happening around that time.
Gustavo's incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
He's the king. Like,
all around.
Yeah, yeah. Even like on the last series with The Last of Us, you know, like he's so present and gives so much depth to movies, and it's incredible.
Yeah, he's a bit of a mad genius, it seems like to me.
Of course.
You know? So you didn't have guitar lessons. You kind of just learned it on your own.
Never. Just on my own.
And the funny thing is, when he told me, hey, I'm learning the guitar, because I knew that he kind of started to play a bit before I left. But then he like told me, hey, I learned in that year to play the guitar. And I was like, okay, cool. He can play chords a bit. And then I came back.
Yeah, strum.
Yeah. I was so impressed, you know, like finger picking. And also he came up with stuff that I was like, wow. And so, I'm really grateful that he started to do that. And then the first time that we played together was just magical, you know. We connected and we felt like, hey, that's it. It's really cool what we have.
Before he even started playing guitar, Esteban, were you playing music with other people?
No, not really. No. I was always like playing by myself, sometimes jamming with friends, you know. But I'd never liked to play cover songs. It felt always like, I don't know. And then when we started to play, he came up and he said, hey, why don't you visit me? I have like an idea on the guitar. Bring your guitar. Then he showed me a song and he said, hey, something is missing. Why don't you play over it? And I came up with a melody and he was like, that's exactly what I was missing. And that's like how we write songs, you know. It's always one of us comes up with an idea and then something is missing and the other fills it up without telling or asking the other one, hey, what do you need? And, you know, like a melody or something. It's really, we have a gift and we're very grateful for that.
Alejandro, do you remember what that idea was that you played him, that first idea?
Yeah, it was the first track, El Mar. That was the first song we ever written together.
Do you mind playing some of the chords?
Yeah, of course.
Without Esteban first, just the chords as you brought it to him.
That's it. And actually, we played it the other way. So he had the melody and I had the chords. But now with the set and trying to build like a certain dynamic, we changed it. So I applied the melody now. But that was the first melody ever from the Hermanos. Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Yeah.
Was there ever a thought early on, like in those initial times, you guys had those first ideas to put words or to sing? Were either of you guys singers? And
no.
Did you feel like?
Luckily, never. No.
No, never. We never thought about it, and since we're huge fans of just soundtracks and film scores, and within our limitations, we were like, no, it's not going to work with vocals. And to be honest, it was not like a conceptual thing, like, okay, if we don't have vocals, we have like the potential to maybe travel more, you know, around the world because there's no boundaries, because no vocals, like everyone can understand. So yeah, it was just very clear from the beginning on. It's just got to be instrumental.
Were you guys growing up before music? Did you guys get along very well? Or were you guys like combative as siblings? Or
no.
What was your guys' relationship?
We always had a close connection. I think we're battling now more than when we did when we grew up. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But music is keeping us together right now. It's really that way.
Yeah, but then I'm the oldest. He's the youngest. We're in total four. And we always had this connection, you know. And then when he got older, we kind of start to have like the same interests, you know, like in fashion, jewelry. We love vintage stuff. And yeah, it's everything that we produce by ourselves was always so natural and so much fun, you know, to do artwork, songs, like all these merch that we produce by ourselves. It was always very cool. And it still is, yeah.
Are you guys designing it by yourselves too?
Yeah, we did for the first four records. We did all the artwork and stuff.
At what point after those ideas started percolating, did you guys realize you wanted to record stuff?
It was actually that night because we were jamming. We had like three, four songs of that song that we played you. And so his roommate came in our room and he was like, wow, that's amazing. From which band is that? And we were like, that's our music. And then he was the one that said, hey, you guys should record, play concerts and put out an LP and whatever. And we were like, all right, yeah, let's do it.
Where were your first shows?
We played in Zurich. We started to play in Zurich, like small venues. And then we decided to record our first album, which is called Ocho Años, because of our age difference, in Berlin. We went to a friend. We did a road trip. We packed all our amps and stuff. And we didn't know what we're going to do, you know. We just wanted to record. And then, yeah, it happened. And it got, how do you say, word around. Like, friends were passing our music. And we never had, like, the idea of yeah, getting more known by our music. We always like to do it and to have it as a memory for ourselves because it's beautiful what we do. And
I never heard my brother talking so
much. Yeah, I feel good, man. I feel good. Yeah.
Usually he's the shy guy and he's like, yeah, I'm in the back. But I don't know. There's a connection between you guys.
But the thing is, it's just between you and me, you know, right? Because otherwise, when there's some people, I don't like to talk that much. And I feel good right now. So, yeah. All good, man.
Were you guys exploring other, like, career paths or anything? Like, what were you guys up to at the time? Beside music, was there anything?
Man, I was working in a coffee place and I did those flap whites with the swans and the hearts and all that shit.
You're talented.
But I'm glad I left that place and just this whole career and now we're into art and it's much more meaningful and important to us.
What's the music scene in Zurich like? What's going on over there?
To be honest, I was never really into the music scene in Zurich, but there are some venues which they're popular to invite, like, international artists. But the local scene, I would lie if I would tell you a name or, like, even tell you it looks like it's hard. It's hard to capture. Maybe there's not a big music scene. That's why it's not so present. It's not like here in Nashville where, you know, like, you come to the airport and you see, like, Gibson guitars and they look like they're in a museum. It's so unique. You don't have that culture in Zurich, not at all.
What's it like being in a place like Tennessee, just as a musician, just kind of soaking that stuff in? Because so much of the music that you guys play, at least to my ear, it sounds like a lot of it coming from the Americas, whether it's Latin America or, you know, the States, of course. What's it like to soak in the music culture around Tennessee?
I mean, it's an honor to be here, you know. It's incredible. You can feel that music is like number one in this city and there's so much history also. Yeah, it's like coming home. We have friends here. We have our studio here. And it's a lot of fun, you know. It's really cool.
Being so international as you guys are, how do you guys organize your home lives? Like, where are you guys living?
I mean, we always go back to Switzerland because our family is there. So it's like the safe haven, the safe place, because everything is just working there so nicely. So you can just lay back and like rest a little bit. But we're traveling a lot in this year and even the last year, it's been a lot being on the road. So it's a mixture between being in hotels and being back with the family. But it's nice. I really enjoy it. It's also very inspiring to be on the road and meet new people and connect with different parts of the world.
We have to take a quick break and then we'll come back with more from Hermanos Gutierrez.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. MuseAura is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of MuseAura: to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to MuseAura.com, MuseAura.com, to start a new musical journey today.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
We're back with more from Hermanos Gutierrez. Do you guys mind playing
of
something
course,
off the new record?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So let's start with El Bueno El Malo. That was the first track that we actually recorded in the studio. And it was here in this room. So it feels special to be back. All right, man, we're ready.
Thank you.
such great energy, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
How did you guys get connected with Dan Auerbach and the studio out there?
Our management, which is also based in Los Angeles, knows the management of Easy Eye Sound. So the management of Easy Eye, Tom Osborne, he showed Dan on a weekly meeting. Before the meeting started, actually, he said, "Hey, Dan, check out these two brothers." And so Dan watched it on the laptop, like 10, 15 seconds of our first video. And then he closed the laptop and said, "Yeah, let's have a call with the boys." So that's it. It's pretty short, pretty cool. And then we had a call for like 15, 20 minutes with Dan and Alan, the sound engineer. And it was clear that we wanted to do something together. And it felt like that's it.
I get why it only took 15 seconds, man, because like the sound is pretty immediate. Like it's like, it doesn't take very long to realize what you're listening to. It's like, oh, this is a sound, you know?
I think it's harder for us to realize what's happening.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're on stage and we're like, what are we doing here? You know, like, are people going to get it? And it's just, yeah, apparently it's happening. It's working.
You know, if you're on stage with a band and like a lead vocalist or something, there's stuff you can kind of hide behind when it's just you two on stage and you're seated with your guitars and you're playing, like, you can't kind of hide behind a ton of theatrics or behind other people. And it's like, you guys are kind of really exposed as I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, man.
And funny thing is also, every time still feels like the first time that we kind of played in his room, you know? So it's always like, we're in front of a lot of people, but it still feels like it's just the two of us playing. Then, and it's really cool because sometimes I forget about it, you know? And it just feels good to play with my brother.
How much are you guys playing just in your day-to-day lives, trying to come up with ideas to bring to one another?
Always, man. I think it's part of my daily routine just to pick up the guitar. And sometimes it's just like even like 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, maybe it's an hour, maybe it's 2 hours. But I try to do to play the guitar every day and just like create something.
Yeah, it always depends because sometimes I play like every day. But sometimes I also feel like that my body and my mind kind of need to take like a distance from the guitar because it's also very personal, you know. I try to put my feelings into songs, you know, and sometimes it's just, I don't know, I'm not in the mood or I don't feel any inspiration. And then I kind of give it the space, you know, to be like, hey, it's okay not to touch the guitar. And then it's always cool because when I kind of play again, I always come up with something small, something new or something different. So I think sometimes the space between you and the instrument is important.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you able to realize what inspires you or are you unaware? Is it just sort of coming through and you don't even know what it is that's activated the creative response?
It's both. I don't think if something happens, I'm not sure if this is going to be a song. But for sure, it's going to be there and it's going to be an inspiration. I think traveling and meeting people, it's a big inspiration. Or even like touring. We went to Texas 2 months ago and I remember I came back and it was just such a great tour that I felt so inspired just because I loved what we were doing. So I said like, okay, if we're going to put out more music, I'm going to be able to do more of that kind of stuff, you know, stuff which is fun. So that was interesting. But I think in general, it's life, which is an inspiration to come up with new ideas. So even the fights that we're having as brothers, it's always like we're growing on this path together. Sometimes we're more apart from each other, but it always brings us back. So I think like this relationship is maybe the main source for the inspiration that we're having.
Yeah. It's an interesting point about the live show inspiring things, like because you guys just started in your bedrooms and because you guys are like just so familiar with one another and so comfortable with one another, I mean, you know, there must be such a huge difference between this is a song we came up with in our room by ourselves and all of a sudden now it's the same song we're playing on stage and again, it's just the two of us. But adding that live element really obviously must feel like, oh shit, like we're in show business. Like we need to like move an audience some sort of way. Like, do you guys think about crafting a record in a way that, oh, we could go out and do this live, or is it?
No. It's never like, hey, we need to be able to play that live. No, it's always like something that we, that we feel at that moment. You know, it's like, I have this idea, let's check this out. And of course, almost all songs that we wrote, we are able to play in live. That's also something cool, because we sound the same on the record, or almost the same as in live. And it's just the two of us, you know?
Yeah, we're not trying to overproduce it, because that would not be us. We were always just very restricted to two instruments, which are a representation of two souls. And I think we just want to keep it that way.
It doesn't sound like you guys are trying to necessarily impress anyone with fancy guitar playing, like with tricks, you know? Or like...
I don't even know how to do that, man. I can't shred. I'm like...
I mean, today we were at the Carter Vintage Guitar Store? That's like one of the coolest stores here in Nashville. And we were checking out some guitars, and there were some guys there like, you know, like, I'm like,
I could never do that.
We could never do that. But it's like, what we do is like honest and real. Yeah, the thing that we feel. So that's, I don't know. It's kind of a mystery as well.
Do you guys have any desire to be able to do that, or not so much?
No, not really.
No, not really. No,
it's okay. I just want to sound
authentic.
Authentic and different. I think that's the main inspiration. And maybe that's always the point that we inspire to. We're not trying to copy someone. It's really about that.
Yeah, that's the coolest thing, man, because it gets so easy, especially when you're a guitar player, mm-hmm. and like, you know, like just to copy other people, or like to get caught up in showing off.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
To be able to actually articulate who you are as an individual on the instrument is like, mm-hmm. it's a lost art, feels mm-hmm. like, you know? Have you guys played with a vocalist before?
No.
Like a third person? Has anyone ever tried to insert themselves into what you guys
yeah,
do?
Yeah, I mean, the next song that we're going to play is called Tres Hermanos, because we wrote that song with Dan. You know, that was also kind of a cool story. We were at the studio. We almost recorded the song, and then he came and he said, hey, he's hearing a melody on a part of the song. And he sang us what he heard, you know. And we tried to play his melody, but we couldn't play it like he wanted to play them. And we just handed him over the guitar and said, why don't you play over it? And he just did a one taker. And that's then when we just call it that. The song is called Tres Hermanos, because we also kind of became friends with him. We have same interests. And it was so cool. You know, at the beginning, it was, wow, it's Dan Auerbach. And it's still Dan Auerbach. We have the biggest respect for him, but we kind of became friends, and we kind of got to know him as a person. And he's beautiful. He's so nice, and he has a good heart. And yeah, that's cool that we have like this in common.
Did you guys play it live together, or did he play over?
Yeah, I mean, he came to shows. Sometimes we tell him, hey, do you want to come to a show in Los Angeles, or we might be there? And he says, yeah, I want to go with you. And he flies in, and we have an after party, and it's always cool, yeah.
You guys play together so much. Is the energy feel a little different when you have someone else come in to play?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Playing with Dan on stage was really... And even he said that, like, because he's aware of that tight space that we're having, like, he doesn't want to come and, like, destroy that energy. But with him, and even with Adrian Quesada from the Black Pumas, he's sometimes also, like, joining the stage with us. It always felt like an enrichment. Mm-hmm. It's not like, what is that guy doing here? So we're aware of that, and we're just trying to play with the right people. And it's, one more time, it's like, it's the feeling that we're trusting, and we know, okay, this is going to be a fit.
How do you guys know Adrian?
We know Adrian. It's a funny story. I met him in Los Angeles in a store in Mr. Freedom. And I saw him, and we recognized each other. And I was like, hey, you're? And he was like, you're? I was like, yeah. And since then, we kept in touch. And then we saw each other in, when was the second time? I think in Austin.
First time we played together in Austin at the Anton's.
And he came with us to play on stage. And since then, we're in touch. And he's such a cool guy as well.
And he even flew out to, we had a big concert in Mexico City last month, and he flew in, and we had time to hang out together. And yeah, he's another brother, and it's really cool. We have a cool connection with him as well.
He's a great dude, and man. He knows so much about music.
And
it's crazy.
He's an amazing guitar player. He's so talented.
Yeah. How was the Mexico City show? What was that like?
It was a chaotic experience in so many ways because we had a show in the open air space. It was a beautiful venue. I remember when we told our friend that it was living there, we're going to have a show in May in Mexico. And he was like, oof, but it's the rain season. What are you guys doing? You know, like we're like, I don't know. So we had sound check and everything was prepared. And I got back to the hotel room. I had a shower. I was ready, like ready. And I heard the first thunder. And I was like, no, bro, you're kidding. So I was like, no, this is really happening. So we went back and it started raining so much. So we had to cancel the show. Mm. And a lot of people were annoyed and like, how can you do that? Like, we just came for this show. And then on Saturday, there was another nature thing happening. A big volcano, which is close to Mexico City, started to be active.
Yeah,
so a lot of people who tried to go back had to stay again in Mexico City. They were stuck. Mm. So they were able to come to the show, which we postponed to Sunday. And there was an indoor place. And in the end, it was an amazing show with Dan and Adrian Quesada on the stage. But we got back home and we were so tired.
In the active volcano in the background. setting things
up. Crazy. But it's funny. I like to talk about it. It's a nice experience.
We have to pause for another quick break, and then we'll come back with more from Hermanos Gutierrez. As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
MuseAura is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of MuseAura, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to MuseAura.com, MUSORA.com, to start a new musical journey today.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Before we jump back into my conversation with Hermanos Gutierrez, let's hear them play their song Tres Hermanos live. Thank you. I get lost listening to you guys.
Thank you, man.
How long have you been playing lap steel?
4 years now. And it happened on the journey that we had through California and the Death Valley. And we did like a commercial for this Swiss airline. And it was such a cool thing. And then we got back to LA. And there's a store in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
True Tone Music. And we got, we visited that store. And I just saw this lap steel on the on the wall hanging. So I bought it. It was actually my brother said, yeah, get it, man. You should just buy it. And it just opened a new dimension for us because it's like more Western now and it has this desert sound. So yeah, I'm happy that I'm able to play that instrument.
How long did it take for you to feel comfortable playing?
I felt comfortable since the first moment. It was really like,
wow, cool.
From the first string that I was sliding.
I just realized that I helped him to play the guitar and the slide guitar. So it was me. It's like, I remember he was standing there. I mean, he had this white, what was it, Perla slide guitar. And it was so beautiful. And the price was okay. And he was thinking, hey, should I buy the... I don't know. And I'm so happy that he did it, you know. And he's so talented because sometimes he came up with ideas on the slide. It's crazy. That's his instrument.
By the way, like no matter what... arguments you guys have now, you know, it's like brotherly arguments type thing. It's like you have to credit your whole career.
I was about to say I love how my brother credits himself sometimes.
Do you gravitate more towards one or the other in terms of like when you're gonna just pick something up to play?
It's easier for me to play the lap steel for sure. It's less like pressure and it's very smooth, it's very light. But with the guitar, I usually play first the guitar and I come up with a melody and I try to play something with the lap steel. So this is actually the guidance for a song. So I need both of them. It's like I can't decide.
And you'll come up with the melody on the lap steel, but you'll come up with the...
Yeah, sometimes I do. I mean, for this song, Tres Hermanos, my brother came up with that melody and it was clear from the beginning that it just needs a lap steel. I don't have to play the guitar. And yeah, it really depends.
What was the reception in Switzerland like? I mean, I guess at what point did you realize you're going to be able to take this outside of Switzerland?
I think it was the first concert that we had in Mexico City. It was before the pandemic, and that was the first show overseas. And there was a friend inviting us, and just seeing that kind of attention and the presence and that people can get it in a different country, that was amazing to see. And oh wow, there's so much more that we could discover with our music. They're like, there are no boundaries.
What was it like growing up Latino in Switzerland? Was that a weird experience?
No, not weird. It was always, I realized like when I was around 12 that it's like a gift that I have like both sides in me, you know? Because we had like in Switzerland, you had like the Swiss boys. And then you have like the, how you say this, the foreigners, no? Like with the immigrants.
Yeah.
And so I was always part of both, you know? I could be with the Swiss friends and I could be with the, like with my soccer friends. And it was always like, I'm both. And also like to talk Spanish in Ecuador and to come home and to understand, yeah, German. It was a really a gift.
Yeah, in a way it's also... There's a feeling of feeling lost sometimes.
Yeah, of course. That's
you're
our
not
thing.
Part of either this culture or the other, which is, I think, a refreshing feeling sometimes. And sometimes you just want to have that feeling, okay, I belong to this kind of culture. But I think it was the coolest thing to grow up with a Latin part, you know, even like the possibility to go to Ecuador and visit our grandfather and grandmother, all the cousin. I think that was an inspiration for us as well. And we try to transmit that through music. I mean, we have two songs in the set. It's especially a dedication to the Latin culture. And whenever we play those tracks, it reminds of us of our abuela and just the primos and just being there with the whole family. So, and that's something I think the family, the meaning of family, it's not so present maybe in Switzerland. It's different.
What is it? Like?
I don't know. I think Swiss people are more, they're holding back their emotions a little bit. it's not so easy to share emotions or even like tell someone I love you, I care for you. I'm not saying like it's not happening. It's just like different. In Ecuador, we went there when we were like, you were 16, maybe I was 8, I don't know. It was like after a few years, maybe I got it wrong, but it was a trip that we haven't been in Ecuador for a long time. And I saw my aunt, and I didn't see her for like, I don't know, 10 years. And she cried and she was so emotional. And I was like overwhelmed by so many emotions. And I don't think that's something you see in Switzerland, like where people are able to express themselves through emotions. It's different.
Yeah, that really is a gift then to be able to get both of those. I mean, to be able to operate in both those two cultures that are distinctly different in those emotional ranges, you know, you kind of be more reserved and then also to be able to express yourself completely and fully.
And the thing is also about Switzerland, which I get now, is like in Switzerland, everything looks perfect. And in almost every sense, it is perfect. You know, you have everything there. And so it's kind of difficult to act or to tell that something is not perfect, you know, for example, in a relationship, if you have issues with your family. And I think in Latin America and especially Ecuador, it is common, that you have fights and you get loud and you scream at each other. And in Switzerland, everything is more reserved, which is also good because the culture is different. But that's something that I got to know now when I'm older.
How did your parents meet?
That's a funny story. My father was maybe 30 years old, and then he worked for a European company, but in Ecuador in the pharmacy business. And then our mother was his secretary. So,
right? Yeah, it's the perfect story.
And so he had to go back, or he wanted to go back, and then our mother showed us the letters, and then our father wrote her a letter. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the most honest letter, like there's like a 50-50 chance that you're going to make it because of this. And he just told her all the factors that are different from being in Ecuador. Just like a very Swiss approach, you know, like,
and she you're going to hate it.
Yeah, she was all in, and like she left Ecuador forever.
How old was she at that time? Like
she was 20-something. She was 25, 26.
Yeah, she was young.
Wow.
Yeah, and also like German, like the language, that's so hard to learn. But our mother, big respect for her that she did it. And she, nowadays she's more Swiss than we are, you know. It's funny, in my opinion. But big respect that she left her parents in Ecuador, her sisters, brothers, and she just moved to Switzerland without knowing anybody.
She told me that she always gonna marry a foreigner. She always wanted to
leave. Yeah, that's true.
She had that vision.
Was her family upset?
No, I think they got it. I think they were like, if you have to do it, you leave, but you can always come back. This is your place. Don't worry about it.
It was also a chance, you know, in the late 70s, you know, to go to Europe from Ecuador. And our grandparents, they were
middle class,
lower class a bit also, like humilde, how do you say?
Humble people.
Humble people, you know. And so I remember that a grandfather talked to my father, and also like he just said, just treat her with respect, and she can always come back.
Did you guys speak German primarily in at home?
Yeah, it was German. With
I speak Spanish. I'm kidding. It's always the joke.
See,
between.
It's always the same thing, man. The big brother being mean to the little brother. No, it was mostly German with my father, but our father left. They got separated when I was 7. So I mostly spoke Spanish to my mom. That's why I speak better Spanish than my brothers.
Orale.
That's the reason.
Wait, so and when they got separated, your mom just decided to stay out there still?
Yeah, I mean, they lived pretty close to each other. So it was clear that she's going to stay in Switzerland.
Feels even more brave in a way. I don't know why.
She's super brave.
The first few records you guys recorded, no label on anyone until the most recent record, right?
Yes,
that's correct.
What was it like putting out records all by yourself? Like, did you guys have a vision or a strategy, or was it sort of just like, let's make some stuff, put it up, see what happens?
No strategy. We just wanted to have our own collection of vinyl because it's just such a strong thing to have in your mind and just to pass it on. So it was important that we create something which is honest. And then it was also very organic, like creating new music was easy. It was just like, yeah, happening so fast. And looking back, it's crazy. Like every year we had a new record coming. But it was at the same time so much fun. It was because it was a side thing for us. It was like the thing which kept us alive in a way, you know, from maybe the routines and all that stuff, which it's not as so inspiring. But we're happy now that we're having this label in the back of us. It's a beautiful feeling to have people around you now.
How did you guys record the first few records? Was that, did you guys do it on your own or did you do it at a studio?
We had a studio
out there.
The first two records were recorded in Berlin at a friend's place. He had his studio and he offered us, hey, if you ever want to record something, this is your studio. And then we did this twice, like this journey road trip, you know. And after that, we found a cool studio and a cool recording engineer in Zurich. And so the last two albums we recorded in Zurich because we also didn't have the time to do another road trip, you know. It was like, we want to record now and we have everything here. And so in total, we did like four albums and two singles. So, yeah.
When you guys realized you were going to record with Easy Eye, did you have the songs for the new record ready or did you have to?
I mean, we knew like in December, we're going to record in March. And we had ideas, you know, we were always playing but then we had like, okay, let's write this album. And it was a very intense and special 2 months because we wanted to impress Dan, you know. And he was impressed by the way that we were because after 2 days, we were done with recording the bass, you know, like we did 8 songs in 2 days. And he was like, so what should we do now? And we were like, let's start with overdubs and everything. And we came well prepared, but it was like also 2 months before every day playing together, writing songs and looking for new melodies. It was not always that easy, you know, but it was cool to come to the studio, plug the guitar in and to be ready.
Dang, so you guys wrote the record in 2 months and then basically recorded the majority of it, like the vast majority of it in 2 days?
Yes.
The bass of it, we recorded in two days, but there were overdubs, of course, happening in the next days. But the bass of the record was done.
I love how quickly you got. I mean, that's just, it's feels like rare these days. I mean, you know, we had to work that quickly.
We had to, in a way, yeah. I don't think you get this always in your life. It's a one lifetime experience. So we took it very seriously and we felt a little bit of pressure, of course. Yeah, from the first moment, we felt like, okay, this is going to be okay. This is going to be great because the connection with Dan was so on the same level, which made it so easy to perform here in the studio, which this energy, because it's an amazing and unique place. So that pressure that we felt before going to Nashville just disappeared from the first moment that we got here. There was not such a thing like, hey, you have to perform. It's like about creating something beautiful together. That was nice to see how he works and how he approaches a record.
I didn't feel the pressure. I'm kidding.
Are you guys going to record another record out there?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
This year, we're going to come back.
Do you have some material already?
Yeah, we have ideas. After this tour, we're going to go home and we're going to start like working. But we have new stuff ready and we just have to check it out to be together and play together.
I know you were talking about Gustavo and film as an inspiration. Do you guys want to do soundtracks ever?
Yeah. We're waiting for the right director with the perfect story, which fits and just like to create an experience. But there's no rush. I mean, and also right now there's no time. I mean, we're busy with own things, own projects, and this next record. We want to take it as serious as possible and not just be lazy about it. And I think it's just all very natural and we trust in the process and things are coming. And if not, it's okay.
Oh, man. Thank you, guys.
Of course, man. A pleasure.
Glad we got to talk and thanks for coming on.
Man, it was an amazing conversation. Really cool. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks to Esteban and Alejandro of Hermanos Gutierrez for playing for us and chatting through their origin story. You can hear all of our favorite songs from them on a playlist at BrokenRecordPodcast.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at YouTube.com/BrokenRecordPodcast, where you can find all of our new episodes. You can follow us on Twitter at Broken Record. Broken Record is produced with help from Leah Rose and Eric Sandler. Our show is engineered by Echo Mountain. Broken Record is a production of Pushkin Industries. If you love this show and others from Pushkin, consider subscribing to Pushkin Plus. Pushkin Plus is a podcast subscription that offers bonus content and ad-free listening for $4.99 a month. Look for Pushkin Plus on Apple Podcast subscriptions. And if you like this show, please remember to share, rate, and review us on your podcast app. Our theme music's by Kenny Beats. I'm Justin Richmond.
Every week at Broken Record, we meet with legends of the industry to uncover the meaning behind the music, the strategy and history that separate the good from the truly great. That's what Mark Chaikin does, but for the U.S. stock market. Mark is a creative legend in his own right. He worked on Wall Street for 50 years, invented three new indices for the NASDAQ, and has predicted some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade, including the recent mania in AI stocks. Now Mark says we're seeing a similar shakeup in the financial markets. He's calling this a new dawn for the U.S. stock market and predicts dozens of specific stocks will soar in the next 90 days. He put everything you need to know in a new presentation specifically designed for people off Wall Street. You can watch Mark's presentation for free at newstocktrend.com right now. Again, the link to watch is newstocktrend.com. That's newstocktrend.com. MuseAura is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of MuseAura, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to MuseAura.com, MuseAura.com, to start a new musical journey today.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.